Once you establish a waypoint to guide yourself by, the key to education and expanding your knowledge and progressing just as a horseman or horsewoman is exposure. It's just exposure, and it's getting around more people and more horses and seeing more and experiencing more. That's really the ticket.
Hi, this is Allie, and you're listening to another episode of the Leading Rein podcast. Every week, Noah and I dive into some aspect of the horse industry. We don't shy away from difficult topics, and we love to share all the feel-good stories. We want you to show up to this and laugh a little, but learn a lot. We're so excited to share this with you, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Leading Rein. We've been pretty impacted by smoke out here in Southern Oregon. I think everybody on the West Coast is feeling it right now. So we thought it would be a great opportunity to just hop on and chat a little bit about continuing education, both for ourselves and also for our horses when we're kind of limited, and just how to integrate that into our lives. So Noah, do you want to talk a little bit what we do here when the smoke's pretty bad, but also maybe just give some tips and ideas to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of, like Allie said, maybe choosing to limit your horse's workload when the smoke comes to a level where you need to do that, there's a lot of things you can do just at the walk. So for instance, let's say you just decided that you wanted to, you know, it's not healthy to trot or lope your horse. That doesn't mean you need to be done and just not get them out at all. You could definitely do things. For instance, I'll take my colts and I might saddle them up, do a little bit of groundwork, try not to get their heart rate up. But then I might take time that day, if it's not even good enough to ride them, and I might get them all loading in and out of the trailer. And at the ranch, we've got a few different styles of trailers, between a stock trailer and we have trailers with ramps. So I'll just mess around with taking all the trailers out, getting them to where they'll hop in and out of the stock trailer, go up in with the ramp, back out of the trailer, go in, turn around, go into the different slots, get them really comfortable. They're things that you might not take time to do otherwise when the air is good and you're just going to go out and ride them around and kind of keep things business as usual. But you could take this opportunity to spend time in areas like that. Or really, it's just being creative. It's taking time to see, maybe you have a horse, for instance, that would be, it's a little tentative to go in and out of the wash rack. Well, you could take some time and maybe get them walking over a tarp, get them going in and out of the wash rack a little better, and take time to work things like that that you may not take time to do otherwise. So there's a long list of things you could get your horse doing on the ground that you can spend your time doing that won't get their heart rate up. But the biggest thing I could probably advise you to do is get creative. See where your horse might need a little bit of work. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's probably going to be in an area where you're not really willing to spend the time when you're just kind of going along and everything's normal. But try and view the air quality being poor as a blessing in disguise, and make it allow you to take time with your horse to get them over some things that you might just kind of look past and live with every day. So, you know, as the old saying goes, make the best out of a bad situation. Don't just quit just because the air is a little bit bad. There's definitely comes a point where you shouldn't be out there working your horse at all in it. But if it's still healthy enough to get them out, get them out. Maybe get them out 3-4 times for short sessions and do something. Get on them, do some stuff at the walk. But there's always things you can do. Just keep breaking it down. And yeah, take the time to spend with your horse instead of just not doing anything at all. There's always something you could get a little better.
Yeah, and we have a lot of like baby horses, and I know we'll just throw a saddle on and lead them by a few times, do a little bit of groundwork, maybe just get them good to get on and off from the fence, because you don't get your heart rate up at all. Maybe yours would get up a little bit if you don't have one that'll lead up to you really well. But
yeah,
you know, I know we've done that with quite a few of our baby horses. I think part of it is, for the horses especially, is just handling them, because for the youngsters, just staying in the routine and the habit of having some kind of job, even if it's small, is important. I think there definitely comes a point with like some of the younger horses that I've seen, like I sent a couple home because they're just at a phase where they either really need to work or they should probably just kind of hang out. in a pasture, you know, there's definitely kind of an adolescent phase of baby horses that goes through that. So I think it's just like you said, Noah, it's kind of just evaluating where you're at and seeing, making the best calls possible given the situation. But there's so many things to do. I know what we've done a lot, like what we do with our clients too. I mean, there's so many ideas. Like, you can pull your bridle apart and have the kids put it back together. You can take the time, teach everyone how to wrap, teach everyone how to get a heart rate or give a shot. You know, there's so many different things that I think in our day-to-day that we don't really take the time to really like teach people, because a lot of people come with a finite amount of time to ride and then they kind of have to go, you know, they're either in school, they got to go do their homework, or they have to go home. And so, like you said, I think just for ourselves, it's just taking that time to either help our clients in those areas, you know, and I think that is really specific to the Smokey situation. But another thing that I think we should really touch on is just continuing education in general, and how to really implement that into your everyday life. Noah, I know that you'll have a couple of points to throw in here, but you know, something that I always try to do is really engage with our service providers. So like, if our vet is here, I try not to just be really standoffish. I try to be engaging and ask the questions and understand why. Like, what are they seeing on the radiograph? Why do they want to take that radiograph? What was the clinical presentation? You know, what is the treatment protocol? Just really trying to understand a little bit more in depth, some different things. I mean, I think we all know with horses, situations can be super fluid. So like everything, knowledge is power. And the more knowledge you have, you know, the more confident you'll be in managing and maintaining your horse and interacting with them. So I think just really encouraging everyone to be like outgoing in that sense and engaging with your service providers, whether that's your veterinarian, your farrier. I'm always asking our farrier, I'm sure he gets annoyed with us, but he's amazing. And I'm always asking him like, hey, I noticed, you know, this horse went from a 4 to a 5 or a 5 to a 4, or we put clips on this horse. What is your specific thought behind this? I think it just makes a great environment. And that's something that I would really encourage everyone to do, not only right now when you have the time, but in your everyday life.
I would definitely agree with that. You know, this time right now might be a great time for people to implement that and get that ball rolling to where they're a little more engaged, like you're saying, with the vet, with the farrier, especially if you have a lot of horses around where you're at. Maybe they're not just yours, but there's a vet coming to a barn that's seeing a lot of horses. There's a lot to be learned. That's a heck of an education you can get just by kind of more or less hanging over their shoulder and asking some questions here and there. So I would definitely agree with you on that it would be, this might be a great time to start that habit, but it should be something that you ought to do. If you're going to be around horses, you kind of owe it to yourself and your horse to be as well-rounded as possible. So that's a great education to get from people that are always around, more or less.
And I think, you know, even on top of that, some great resources are podcasts. If you listen to podcasts, if you're here listening to this one, I'm sure you listen to other ones. We're doing like a feature this month, every week, kind of giving a recommendation. And last week we said the podcast, like they have so many episodes with so many different people and it's just great storytelling. And you learn a lot. You do really learn a lot by hearing people's journeys and stories and different things like that. There's some great business podcasts. We have a few more referrals dropping, so I'm not going to name anything too specifically. But yeah, I mean, I would really just utilize different tools like that. And I think like Audible, you can download books and really listen while you're working. I do that a lot around the barn while we're doing different chores or activities at the barn, just kind of constantly listening. And yeah, I think there's some awesome master classes and books and different things that you can really just resource and take that time. Like if you were going to be at the barn for an hour, like maybe spend an hour just learning. And if you can't go out, because there's definitely a point when you probably shouldn't be out in the smoke either. So use that time and challenge yourself and push yourself to learn just a little bit more. And I think one last thing, of course, is obviously like Noah, and you can touch on it too if you want, but like just going to clinics. I mean, I know if you can sneak away for the weekend, or I don't know, if you are working in the barn like us right now, if you work at the barn, but you can't really ride, maybe you can sneak off to somewhere else and go watch a clinic. It's just such a wealth of knowledge. And I think if there's one tidbit or one piece of advice that I've received that I know I take to heart and I'll carry forever is just that you will always learn something. Whether you're learning something that you want to implement and in your own life and in your practices, or if you learn something that you don't want to do, you're always learning something. And so to be in that constant pursuit of continuing education, I think is just so, so important for this industry and just to be the best horse person you can be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That once you establish a waypoint to guide yourself by, the key to education and expanding your knowledge and progressing just as a horseman or horsewoman is exposure. It's just exposure, and it's getting around more people and more horses and seeing more and experiencing more. That's really the ticket. So yeah, I would completely agree that if you can, go expose yourself to some stuff and take this time to do so if you can.
Well, you guys know that education is a huge passion of ours, and we just love to share that and mostly just share our resources and connect everyone to that. So we will drop a couple of our favorite reading recommendations after this podcast so you guys can resource that. And we hope that you're staying safe, hopefully safe from the fire, safe from the smoke, and staying happy and healthy. So thank you guys for joining us on this episode of The Leading Rein, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Leading Rein. We hope you loved it, and we can't wait for you to hear next week's episode. But until then, happy trails.